Then man developed his own governments and his own system of government. So we have the many nations and the governments over every nation. In the United States, or a government like the United States, we have different states. And we have state governments. And we have local city governments. In Canada, they're divided into provinces, and they have local provincial governments as well as their national government. And that's the way governments are formed all over the earth. Then we have developed a human system of economy. Now, the economy is in trouble all over the world right now. And man has nothing but problems and troubles with the economic system he's developed, because it is false, it's man-devised, and Satan-influenced. God, for one thing, God's way denies interest or usury on loaning money. But the whole world system is based on usury and interest. And that's one of the problems in the United States right now. Then we have a social system, social customs, and regulation of man's relation with man through laws and government. And we build a society influenced by Satan, that is this world, and the society is in trouble. And people in this society are not happy, and they are miserable. They're discontented. We used to hear about milk from contented cows. You may have contented cows. You don't have contented people. There's quite a difference if you stop to think about it. Now, it was into such a world, it hadn't grown technologically like we have in the 20th century, that's true, but otherwise it was a world just like we are today. We've just advanced more in materialism today. But Jesus came into such a world. Jesus, however, was born of God, and he was the Word, and by him were all things created. He was the creator of all. And he came into such a world, he was called the second Adam. Now, the Holy Spirit was closed from the time of the first Adam until the second Adam. Until Christ could come and pay the penalty of sin and die for us. Otherwise, no one could be. Everyone had sinned. All have sinned. Adam sinned. Cain and Abel sinned. Abel was called righteous Abel, but he did sin because all have sinned. And all have died. Now, it's also true that as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. There is, and that'll be in the great white throne judgment. But in the meantime, here is a terrible world in trouble. And man is in trouble with his neighbor. And man is cut off from God in the relationship with God. And Jesus came into such a world. Now, there had been a prophecy in Joel, the second chapter, and verse 28, where it said, "It shall come to pass afterward," where God said, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Now, that time hasn't even come yet, but it came where it began. With the church, where God began to pour out his Spirit on a small portion of all humanity, the church. And the Holy Spirit is open to those that God calls into the church. I want to put together all the things I've been teaching you the last 9 months about the two trees and about the way of the Holy Spirit and how it was shut off from man. And it was. I'd like you to notice next in John, the 10th chapter and verse 10, where Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Jesus came to give us life. Now, the first Adam did not get life. God offered him life, but he had to make a choice. He had to take the tree of life. He took the tree of death instead. He took the tree of self-acquired human knowledge influenced by Satan. To take the tree of life, he would have had God-inspired, God-revealed knowledge through the Holy Spirit and with the power of the Holy Spirit and giving him making him, that is, begotten of God for eternal life. So Jesus came that we might have life. And he said, I will build my church, and that is the beginning. But on the other hand, while Joel said the Holy Spirit would be open ultimately to all flesh, it was not yet, because Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. So the Holy Spirit was limited to those that God would call, those that were predestinated by God to be called into the kingdom of God. God is choosing some. Now why? Is God discriminating? Is God discriminating against others and just calling you and me, and he's discriminating all of these other people all over the world? Oh, no. Because the call is only a matter of when, anyway. And predestination refers only to the time of your calling. We're to be called now. Let me give you another explanation. Why did Jesus first call only his 14, or the 12 original disciples, with two alternates, who really were 14? Why didn't he call thousands right off the bat? Because he had to teach those in order to they could teach the thousands. And when the church began, it began 10 days after Jesus had ascended to heaven. And after he had taught his disciples for 3.5 years, they had graduated from his college or school and the knowledge that he imparted to them, and now they were sent out as apostles, as those sent with that message. And they preached the gospel of the kingdom. So he called only 12 so that they could teach more in the church. Now, likewise, he has called the church now only a few in order that we in the kingdom of God, when the millennium begins and Christ comes under Christ, can teach all the other millions in the world. He's teaching us, and we're going to school. We are now his disciples, and we are to learn the message. We are to learn how God's government is to run. We're to learn his gospel, his government, his society, his education, his religion, different than that of this world. This world has its religions, it has its economic system, it has its social system, it has its educational systems. We're to learn something different, and we are to be the head of the kingdom of God when Christ sets it up. We're to rule with and under Christ. Now, for example, I want you to notice, now you know a lot of these things already, but notice in Revelation 3:21, where Jesus said, speaking to the church, and this is a message to the church, not to the world. This is not to the world. I can preach this to the world, but they wouldn't understand it. To him that overcometh, meaning in the church, will I grant to sit with me in my throne in the kingdom of God, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father now in his throne up in heaven. Then in Revelation 2, verses 26 and 27, Jesus also said to the church, a message to the church, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, that's in the church. We are going to school now in the church. We are learning the economic system of God. We're to learn the educational system of God. We're to learn God's religion. We're to learn God's civilization, his social system, in order that we can teach the world. And it says, he that overcometh, those in the church, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He's speaking to you and me, brethren. But are we learning? Are we growing in grace and the knowledge of the truth? Or do we just think like the Protestants have it and the Catholics? You just accept. Or what is it in the Catholic Church? You Well, in the Protestants, you accept Christ. In the Catholic Church, they have something else they use. You embrace Catholicism, I guess is the word, whatever it is. Anyway, now I'd like you also to notice the fifth chapter of the Genesis and verse 10. Revelation 5 and verse 10, where he's made us in the church unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Those in the church are being taught to become not only priests to rule, kings to rule, but also priests to save the world, to teach the world a religion. And church and state will be united. And we're to teach the people in the millennium. And then in the great white throne judgment, and that'll last 100 years. And we are to teach them. So now understand the purpose and God's master plan for working out that purpose. God gave his church 7 annual holy days and 7 annual festivals. Now, there's a difference between just a holy day and a festival. Actually, the Feast of Pentecost, or Feast of First Fruits, is a holy day, and it's also a festival one day. But the Feast of Tabernacles is 7 days, and it has also one holy day in it. And then there's another holy day added on the end of it. Now this world, let's understand God's purpose and plan. God's purpose in spiritual of taking us from this world and taking us into the kingdom of God, his spiritual plan for his spiritual purpose is worked out by the 7 holy days. First we repent, that is, first is the Passover, where Christ paid the penalty that is applies only if we repent. Second is the 7 days of unleavened bread, when we put sin out of our lives, if we have repented, and when we have repented. Next comes the day of Pentecost, or the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that then brings us into the church age. And after that is the second coming of Christ, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the putting away of Satan. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, the millennium, teaching the whole world, and then the last great day, which is the final judgment after the 1,000 years. Now, get this. This whole world started by Satan through Adam. But Satan started this world, really, because Adam rejected Christ and went the way of Satan, and it is Satan's world, and Satan has been using mankind. And men have been called the children of Satan. I want to show you that a little later. Well, we might turn to that right now. John 8 and verse 44. John 8 and verse 40, beginning with verse 43. To those that believed on Jesus, even among the Jews, when he was on earth, he was talking to some that really believed on him. But he said, "Why do you not understand my speech?" They didn't agree with him at all. They didn't accept what he said. So he said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil." Now, these were people who believed on him. These are not the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. These are people who were Jews that believed on him, but they believed on him, but they didn't believe him. They didn't believe what he said. And he said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the works, the lusts of your father will you do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh of a lie, he speaks of his own. for he is a liar and the father of it. So those that are not converted and do not become the children of God are, in a sense, the children of Satan. They have been and absorbed the ways of Satan, the attitude of Satan, the purpose of mind, the state of mind, the intention of mind, of that of getting, that of vanity, that of taking from other, of exalting the self over others, from Satan, and they are the children of Satan. Now, I'm giving you some things that you haven't heard before this afternoon. I hope you're getting it. I hope you're getting it. Now, let me go back again. This world was started by Satan through Adam. God's kingdom, or family, and the world tomorrow was started by Christ through the church. And the church is the first part of it, of the kingdom of God, just like the disciples were the first part of the church before it began. And the church is founded on the apostles and the prophets of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and they all were before the church. Now, as Adam and his physical children were the material that Satan used to build this world, this civilization, so the church is the spiritual material that Christ is using to build or to create the kingdom of God. And he's creating something new in us, a new character, a new being, a new creating God within us. He is reproducing himself through us. The kingdom of God, which will be the world tomorrow and will rule the world tomorrow. Now, as I say, the unconverted are really the children of Satan, but in the church we become the children of God. The church are those that are called out of Satan's world. I'd like you to notice that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 16, where it says, "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." We are the temple to which Christ is coming. The church and the dead in Christ are going to rise and meet him in the air as he comes to rule. As God has said, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Well, the world are really Satan's people, but we are to come out of that and to be God's people. "Wherefore, come out from among them of the world," those that are Satan's people. We are to come out of this world and no longer be part of it, brethren. I don't think we get that. Now get this. I don't think you fully understand that. We're to come out of this world and be no part of it. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And he says that we are a separate and a peculiar people, different from the rest of the world. We are a holy nation of people in the church, different from the rest of the world. We are coming out, and we're being taught in school, you might say, and in church, with the true gospel and God's way of life, to teach the whole world in the millennium, just like the apostles were called out first for 3.5 years to teach the church. I want you to understand that. Now, we are not in the church unless the Spirit of God is dwelling in us. Just being a member of the church and saying you're a member, and I often wonder how many that are supposed to be church members, and we look on as members of the church, how many really are members of the church? You are not a member of the church unless the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in you, and also you are being led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God has got to be opening your mind to God's way of life. And you've got to be living that way of life. You've got to be leading where the Holy Spirit leads you, or following where the Holy Spirit leads you. Now turn to Romans. Romans, the 8th chapter, and beginning with verse 7. Because the carnal mind, and we all were carnal to begin with, and some of us, I'm afraid, still are, unless we really have received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of a changed mind, a sound mind, a different kind of a mind that can begin to comprehend spiritual knowledge. And I've found so many in the church that have been members a long time, and they don't comprehend spiritual knowledge. They get doctrine. They're straight on doctrine. But they don't understand it. Brethren, I worry sometimes about the church. Then I have to remember we don't get a full measure of the Holy Spirit all at once. We get a little of the Holy Spirit, and perhaps you get 5%, where Christ had 100%. Well, then you're still 95% carnal. But if you grow in grace and the knowledge and in spiritual knowledge after a little while, if you grow, you have 10% of the Holy Spirit and 10% God's knowledge and only 90% carnal. Where are you now? Have you gotten up to 45% the Spirit of God and still 55% carnal? You better get where you're not over 49% in this world any longer, 51% spiritual. Now, I hope I've gotten that far. Have you? You better examine yourselves, brethren. Where do you stand? How far have you grown? How much knowledge have you acquired? How much are you practicing in your life? How much prayer are you, how much of your time you're spending in prayer? How devout are your prayers? How much are you pouring your heart into your prayers? Or how much of it is just, well, I was in one place where someone gave a prayer. I was speaking to a group of 1,000 people in the Philippines. And there was a man who gave a prayer, and he read every word of it. He just read it. It didn't mean a thing. It didn't come from his heart. He just read something. I didn't even bow my head. I noticed a lot of others bowing their heads. I couldn't. But you read here in Romans 8, verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity, that is hostile against God. And all of us were that way. To what extent have you quit and come out of that? The carnal mind is hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Are you in the flesh or in the spirit? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I don't care how long you've been a member of the church. Now look, you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Holy Spirit unless you're being led by the Holy Spirit. We read in beginning with verse 14, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. If you're not following where the Holy Spirit leads, you just don't have, the Holy Spirit won't stay in you. It won't stay dormant in you at all. It just won't. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, or that sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and you call God your Father. The Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, and we do, as I said to you last night, Peter was put in prison. I've wondered if I shall be someday. The people prayed when Peter was put in prison, and God performed a miracle and just caused chains to drop loose and gates to open up and let him out. by a miracle. I wonder how many of you people would put your hearts in your prayers if God puts me in prison. Well, I think you would, brethren. I believe you would. I think that most of us really have God's Spirit. But I know that there have been those among us that even rose up to be evangelist rank in the ministry, did not have the Holy Spirit. And I sometimes, it would be easy for me to lose faith when I think of those things. But I tell you, every one of us needs to examine himself. For he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, and that we do have sufferings, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So it's not easy. It's not easy to come out of this world and the temptations of the flesh. And you're hearing sermons on that. I don't know how many of you heard the sermons this morning. I at least got to hear the sermonette this morning, and a very good one it was. But I had to spend the time of the sermon this morning preparing what you've been hearing this afternoon. And I hope that it was worthwhile, and I had to lose that sermon. They could have recorded it. I have equipment in my home now that I could record a sermon if I can't be there myself. But finally now, I'd like to read to you the 12th chapter of Romans, beginning with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what it means. You realize it? Not only your bodies, but everything that you count yours, you have to be willing to present a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. We're to come out of it and be separate. We're a separate, holy, and peculiar people that are different. Now, we're not freak people wearing some kind of, men wear a crazy hat and women some old kind of a bonnet and things like I've seen some religious people do. We're different in the way we live, having the Spirit of God and love toward other people. Not freakish in manner or anything of that sort, or wearing peculiar garb. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of a sound mind, and the mind must be renewed, different than it was before conversion. The renewing of the mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. And some people do, more highly than he ought to think. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man that measure of faith. Now, you see, we do have degrees of the measure of faith and degrees of the measure of the Holy Spirit. That is true, and we must realize it, but we must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that means more prayer and more Bible study and having our mind on the things above and on the things of God and not on the things of this world. We still have not been fully weaned from the interests of the world, brethren, have we? Now think of that and answer that question for yourself. So, we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. That's what we are, brethren. Now perhaps you realize why the church. We're being prepared to rule and teach the kingdom of God just as the disciples were trained and prepared to teach the church. And I hope that we all can really realize that. Take this message and don't forget it. And realize why you're a member of the church and what a terrible responsibility and a wonderful responsibility it is.